We rise. In Christ and through faith in Him, we truly have peace with God. Therefore, let His peace rest on each one of us. May He always empower us, changing our hearts and lives and opening our eyes so that we can prepare a place for Him, that we can be ready for His return, or if He calls us to our eternal rest. The Word of God for our consideration are the words of Luke's Gospel today, chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. I read those earlier. Let me direct your attention just to verse 4 for now. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him." So far our Gospel, and we pray. Dearest Lord, You sent John the Baptist as one of the voices calling in the desert. With confidence in You, John went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Today, You continue to send voices into the world, calling people to prepare the way for the Lord. Joyfully, those who believe the message and confess their sins are freely forgiven. O Lord, continue to direct us by Your word, and by Your Spirit, change our lives so that we live as Your disciples and be the voices calling in this desert. In Jesus' name we always pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do greet you all this morning in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, the coming King, the one for whom we eagerly wait to return the second time. Dear faithful followers of Christ, it's time for you and me to continue to make straight paths for Him, to prepare the way in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions. It's time for us to be the voice in the wilderness. It's time for us to open our mouths and speak of His grace. It's time for everyone to prepare the way for the Lord. Dear servants of Christ, these weeks before Christmas is a time of preparation. We've said it before, we'll say it again, that the Advent time is a time for us to prepare. As we get things ready, we begin to change the colors and decorations in our church. And you and I know that everyone has their own way of doing things. They sometimes have their little to-do lists of things that must be done, the important things that have to be done. And some will continue a little countdown, perhaps waiting eagerly for friends and relatives to arrive. Others have unique ways of counting down the days. Some of you have even purchased these Advent calendars that allow you to open small little windows, and maybe there's a small treat inside, or just simply a message that the Lord would have you meditate on that day. Those are nice ways to count down the weeks before Christmas, but no matter how people count down the days and make their preparations, we know that the most important preparation is preparing for the coming of the Lord. Not so much as preparing for family and friends, but we need to be prepared for Him to return a second time. But we don't know the day or the hour. None of us knows the time that He will come again, nor do we know the day that our eyes will be closed in death. That may happen first, so we need to be prepared. Whether He comes in all His glory or whether He closes our eyes in death, you need to be ready. It is the most important thing for you to prepare your house, your heart, your mind, and your body for. The coming of the Lord, the day of your demise. It's time for us to be prepared. So prepare the way of the Lord. We do so first by preparing ourselves, by listening to His word, by meditating on it, by focusing on Him and the events that He wants us to do and plan for. Next, we need to prepare others. We need to be the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, telling others the joy that we have, telling them the coming of the Lord is near. Make way. Make straight paths for Him. Be ready. His coming is soon. I told you, most people like to prepare, at least for events. And how they prepare is unique to each one. They're preparing for events and parties and gatherings, and they make lists, they set alarms, they tie fingers or strings around their fingers or whatever they do. And there is a time that they're looking forward to something that is about to take place. And it seems to me, people like you and me, we spend and expend a lot of time and energy into preparing for things that, well, in the big picture of God, aren't all that important. But we still prepare. We want to hurry around and find the things that we want. We search the internet hour after hour for special gifts or little trinkets or beads that we decorate our home. We expend lots of energy and we stress over so many different things. All in a matter of preparing for a small event that is here and then gone. And while all these things are nice and they might seem important, at least at the time, the Lord would have us know that there is nothing more important than planning, preparing for His return. There is nothing more important than having your mind, your body, and your soul, your spirit, ready for the Lord to come and take you home. There is nothing more important than to have everything ready for His glorious return. Now, our Lord is a planner as well, and He likes to keep things planned and organized. And throughout history, we know that God had planned to save you and me, fellow sinners, from the grip of Satan, from death, and from our sins. Now, God knew that people like you and me in this world, if left to our own devices, if left alone, would never plan on the Lord returning. We're far too busy for that. So God, in His wisdom, had a plan. He would send His word and His promises out to the people. He would tell the world to be ready, for the Savior will come. You need not know the hour or the day, but you need to be ready. So God, in His wisdom, in days gone by, would send the prophets, the kings, the judges, and the people of God, chosen by God to pronounce the coming of His Savior. Year after year, He would tell them, "The Lord is coming, prepare the way." He would also want the people to follow the laws and the regulations. He put together different ceremonies that He wanted them to follow, and the numerous sacrifices of old. He would tell them, do these things as a foreshadowing of the one who will come. Right now, the blood of a goat or a bull or a lamb must be done again and again and again for the forgiveness of sins. But there is a lamb that has been chosen by God that will come and take away the sins of the world once and for all. You see, God wanted to prepare you, people of old, people today, of the coming of the Messiah. And when the time was fully right, God sends His own Son to be born of the Virgin, to be born under law, to redeem you and me who are under law. Interesting, as I began to ponder that. You see, Mary was chosen to be the Theotokos, the God-bearer, to be the one that would give birth to the Messiah. Now, what was Mary doing in the meantime? What was she preparing for? Well, she was going to be married to Joseph. She had plans. She had to make preparations. Those of you who have been involved in weddings understand there's a lot of time and energy that it put into preparing for such events. So there Mary was, preparing for her things to do, getting the list, checking it twice, making sure she had all the gifts and all the interesting things that were going to take place. And lo and behold, the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and says, "Mary, you have been chosen by God. You will bear the Christ." Suddenly, Mary had a change of plans. The things that she once thought were so important that she was dedicating her time and energy to have now been shifted, and shifted into the preparing for the birth of the Christ. Mary was now focusing on the most important thing, the coming of the Lord. Now we turn the time ahead a little bit. We see that Jesus is growing up, and there is another opportunity for a voice to be heard, someone else to be proclaiming, to make way, to prepare for the Lord. We meet John the Baptist. He is the one who is called a voice crying out in the desert. So John, his task was to go out into the countryside and around the places of Judea, and he would baptize people, telling them to repent from their sins, to turn from their evil ways, to be baptized and trust that the Messiah is coming, and he will save you from your sins. So prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. That was the message from John the Baptist. When people heard John preaching and teaching, he was strong and powerful, and he did what the Lord had called him to do, to proclaim that the coming of the Lord was near. And the God of that age, our God, had opened up his eyes, opened up the eyes of many of the people, and they believed the message. They trusted in the words of John that the Messiah was coming, and that they would change, they would repent. They would make their hearts, their homes, their minds and bodies all prepared for the coming of the Lord. We fast forward to today. God continues to call people, calling them to listen to the word of the Lord, to ignore the rhetoric of politics and other events that are happening outside, but turn your hearts and your minds to Jesus. Know that he is Savior, God, and King, that there is no way of salvation except through him. To believe the gospel message that he lived, he suffered, he died for me, and therefore I can rejoice that I have peace with God. The Lord assures you today that you are free and you're forgiven. Your sins have been removed and your guilt atoned for. And for those who believe the message, there is a place in heaven that has been prepared for all of you. We know, according to God's own word, that every man, every woman, every child will see the coming of the Lord in all his glory. We will all stand before him, and the books will be opened. And those who have done and believed and trusted in him will be given their place in heaven, those who have turned, those who have rejected, those who have ignored the word of God will be condemned. Now God says there's hope for all. He comes to you with his word and says, simply believe the message. Trust in me. Let the Holy Spirit now take dwelling in your heart so that you can confess your sin, that you can believe the message, that you now can trust in him, knowing that you are forgiven and your guilt is removed. There is a place in the eternal heaven for all who believe. Fellow believers, it's time for us to prepare the way in our heart, to know that he is coming soon, and that he and all his angels with him will be there in all their glory, and we will see him. But if he happens to close our eyes in death before that day, we are still ready, and he will take our soul to be with him in heaven. And one day we will be united in body and soul with him and all believers at the wedding feast of the Lamb. What great joy it is, what great confidence we have. But our confidence is not in ourselves, it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because now your heart has been changed, your eyes have been opened, your ears unstopped, and your body ready for the coming of the Lord. It's time for you and me to be the voice that cries out in the wilderness. It's time for you to open your mouths and speak of His grace. It's time for you to show that you are a redeemed child of God and that others can be as well. Be prepared in season and out of season for His coming, for His closing your eyes, and then we will be His instruments to open our mouths and speak of His grace. I don't know if you paid attention last week or not to the funeral processions and funeral service of George Bush. If you were watching, as millions and millions of people were, you could rejoice because they were making a confession that Jesus was the most important thing in this man's life, that he was saved by Christ alone. Yeah, they talked about a lot of good things that he did in his life, but certainly if you were watching, you got to see a testimony that Christ is an important figure to this former president of the United States. I say it was joyful to watch. It's the hope that a testimony such as that could touch millions of people. Whether you agree with him or disagree with him politically, you still had to see that the mention of Christ's name was at the top of the pile, that the service and the songs were ones that we sing here on a regular basis. The words that flowed from the mouths of many were a testimony of what this man believed. May you and I have such a confession. May you and I be so bold and stand up and say, this is what I believe. Well, I got to tell you, you're not going to have people come up to you each and every day asking you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but we need to be prepared. And we prepare ourselves by practicing what it is that we believe. I mentioned to the group on Wednesday night that gathered for worship that we need to prepare ourselves to give an answer. Someone complaining in the checkout line about the lines that are so long and that they need some more help here. Perhaps then, instead of getting angry, we say, there's no line to get into my church. There is no cost to come here. The cost of salvation has already been paid for in Christ. You see, there are a whole bunch of opportunities that each one of us can have to be a witness, to be the voice that cries out in the wilderness. Plan for those opportunities. Look for those. There are opportunities for students in school where you can confess the love of God in Christ without even offending someone. Even people around your work jobs, around the water cooler or in the cubicle next to you, you can still say to them, Merry Christmas, for this is the reason that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. Thanks be to God. We can wait for our relatives to show up, the one who wouldn't darken a church on any given day. We can make sure that we have our homes decorated with adornments where we can say, I proclaim the word of Christ here. And I pray for you each and every day. And I'm so glad you're here as we gather. And I can share with you the word of God that you're free in Christ. Look for opportunities. There will be occasions every time where you can find a reason for the hope that you have and be able to say it to someone. You just have to be prepared to open your mouth and speak. Let's be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Let's prepare ourselves by studying His Word. Let's now then prepare others as we speak the Word of truth for all people. May God give you strength to serve Him all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. We rise. And may the peace of God that goes way beyond all human understanding guard your hearts and minds even more and more as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. Amen. I invite you now to open your red hymnal to page 48. Let's sing the words of the Te Deum, we praise you, O God.